Hello, and welcome to show number 2436 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
It's kind of a combination, like people say, oh, it's a smart cane. It's not a smart cane, really, because it doesn't really work anything like a cane. And it's an electronic guide dog. Well, it's not really an electronic guide dog because it gives you all kinds of other things. So I don't know. That's why I give it a different name. It's a glide.
Well, in today's show, we'll be discussing exactly what it is and what it does, this new navigation aid developed by today's guest.
Glide is an innovative, self-driven, artificial intelligence-powered mobility device for those who are visually impaired. Using advanced sensors and real-time data, Glide navigates the user around obstacles and guides them to their destination. We'll talk with Amos Miller, founder and CEO of Glidance, the parent company, about the device and how it can be used. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Amos Miller.
One of the things that I have learned is that, you know, we sometimes get frustrated with how people deal with us, with people with disabilities, how they deal with a guide dog. In some countries, it's still hard to enter public places with a guide dog. And in some countries where I live, just the fact that there is a disabled person out and about is a curiosity. And, you know, if I would try to enter a restaurant, let's say in Singapore, with my guide dog, 99% of the time they will challenge me because they've never seen a blind person with a guide dog before. And so I think I really had to modify, you know, in the UK, when I lived in the UK, I would go all up in arms about, hey, you're breaking the law. And yeah, that's not the way to do it, right? The way to do it is to really take the point, the opportunity to educate people, right? And to really be very compassionate with people who simply don't understand and don't know and have never been exposed to it. Be kind, be gentle, be warm. Smile and you'll make great friends, and they might even let you into the restaurant.
There have been times we'll walk into a restaurant, Pete has his cane, and some six-year-old will just stare. And rather than considering that rude, you know, we'll walk up to the kid and say, you've probably never seen one of these before. Would you like to know what it's for?
Exactly.
And the parents are thrilled because they're embarrassed to say anything.
They're embarrassed, exactly.
So that works very well.
It does, every time. I think it's the right way to do it. Most people are well-meaning, they just don't know.
Interestingly, when Nancy and I lived in Rochester on the other side of the country, I often didn't take my cane when I was with her. She was perfectly able to guide me and navigate me wherever we needed to go, and I never really thought about it. Of course, when I was alone, I always had my cane because that's how I got around. But since moving to Colorado, I started taking my cane all over the place, and there's actually two things that accomplishes. First of all, it does educate people that people are blind and they can get along with or without an assistive aid like Nancy or some other person that I might be following. But second of all, when people do see my cane and they know what it means, they're more polite. They get out of the way. They make room for me. The waters part when I walk through a crowd. So it can be an advantage in many ways.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Amos. As you'll hear, he has led a fascinating and varied life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amos Miller. I am the CEO and founder of Glidance.
And we'll be talking more about Glidance in just a bit, but you have quite an interesting background. You've been around the assistive technology field for a while. Can you give us a quick overview of what you've done?
Sure. So my background really is in computer science and engineering. I fell in love with computers way back when. My first love was the Commodore 64, so that will peg my age and time frame. I did a computer science degree, Bachelor of Science in the early 90s. Already then I got into neural networks and AI. And I continued, spent many years at Microsoft as well. Most of my career was actually not specifically about accessibility. It's just I did a lot of work in healthcare and telecommunications, but I'm also blind. So I have retinitis pigmentosa. I lost my sight in my 20s. Pretty much by the age of 30, I was installed with jaws on the computer and a guide dog, and basically lived a fully blind life. And over the years, I really, you know, I couldn't keep away from trying to figure out how will we use advancements in technology to improve our own lives. I was commuting a lot. So for me, it was a lot about getting around, wayfinding and navigation. I tried all kinds of technologies. I joined Guide Dogs for the Blind while I was in the UK. And that really led to research work between Microsoft and Guide Dogs that led to the development of Soundscape, which is one of the navigation apps that some people in the community would be familiar with. So I led the work on Soundscape at Microsoft for a number of years. And at that time, I've really started to get to know the world of assistive technology and the amazing impact it can have, but also the challenges that we see in this space in the perspective of investment and products and how to pay for them and how well they work and so on and so forth. And now I'm doing Glide.
You mentioned that you spent some time in the UK. Where are you now?
I am in Seattle.
So you've been around.
Oh, I've been around. I grew up in Israel. That's where I did my computer science. I moved to London. That's where I did an MBA in London Business School. I lived in the UK for 15 years, and then I lived in Singapore for about 3 years with my family and to run the Microsoft Strategic Consulting Service in Asia. So I was, if you think I was commuting while I was in London, I was commuting a lot more when I was in Singapore because I basically covered the whole territory between New Zealand, Australia, all the way up to China, Japan, and Korea. So it was a pretty big, a lot of air miles. And yeah, I came to Seattle about 8 years ago.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Glide, an innovative, self-driven, artificial intelligence-powered mobility device for people with visual impairments.
Well, Amos, considering your visual issues and the amount of traveling that you've done throughout your life and for your career, I guess you've had a real interest in developing some more acceptable and more efficient and productive navigation means. And I suppose that's what led you to the idea of making Glidance. Can you give us a quick overview of what Glidance is? Then we can talk a little bit about how it got started in more detail.
Yes. So Glidance is the name of the company. Glide is the name of the product. Sorry for the confusion, but it's in preparation for having other products in the future that Glidance does. We call the product Glide. And Glide is effectively a new primary mobility aid. And we'll talk about what that means, but it's a primary mobility aid. And it uses autonomous driving technology to guide the way.
So this would be instead of a guide dog or a regular white cane, not in addition.
Correct. Not in addition. It's a primary aid. We'll come back to the rationale, but it uses autonomous driving technology so that it basically has two wheels on the ground, a long handle. You hold the handle, you walk forward, and the wheels begin to steer the way. It has a camera and radars, and it can detect everything in its surroundings, detect obstacles, can calculate where the path is. It can lead you to line of sight targets like doors and dropped curbs, escalators. And the way that it works really is that you walk forward, you determine the speed, the wheels are not motorized. You walk forward, you push the device forward, and as you walk, the wheels steer a little bit to the left, a little to the right. The device will guide you around an obstacle, very similar to the way that a guide dog would, keep you on a safe path, and really guide you to the places that that you're trying to get to.
We've heard the difference between a white cane and a guide dog being primarily that a guide dog helps you avoid obstacles and a white cane helps you detect obstacles. And from your description, it's even though the Glide device looks more like a white cane than like a dog, it functions more like a dog than like a white cane.
It does. It functions more like a dog. It has the benefit that it can actually detect and communicate what it can see. So there is speech built into the device so that you can communicate with voice and it communicate back. So which means that it could give you additional information about the object. Like you might want to completely ignore the tree, or you might want to know that you've walked past a tree, and that's a user choice. So that's where people say, oh, it's a smart cane. It's not a smart cane, really, because it doesn't really work anything like a cane. And it's an electronic guide dog. Well, it's not really an electronic guide dog because it gives you all kinds of other things. So I don't know. I that's why I give it a different name. It's a Glide.
And what is the level of the speech feedback that it gives? If you're walking past a tree, will it say there's a tree on your left, or does it just say obstacle on your left?
The device can detect what things are. It uses AI for object detection. And really, it's a user choice of how much information they want to have about their surroundings. And we are still developing the device, and this is one of the areas that we are really in the process of refining and tuning and giving people preferences to set the level of verbosity that they would like to have. Maybe in some places, when they're in an unfamiliar place, they'd like a lot more information. If they're on a commute walk that they're just going from their home to a bus stop, they don't really want the device to say anything. So that's definitely going to be a user preferences. It's also, I don't want to major too much on voice. It's mainly the guidance that you get through the wheels. There's also haptics in the handle. And the reason I don't want to major too much on voice is simply that sometimes outdoors it's hard to hear it. Like, we don't always want to walk around with headphones. We could be in a pretty noisy place. Many people don't have necessarily the hearing acuteness to hear speech in noisy environments. And so the voice is really additional information.
So in the absence of using the voice, when you approach the example of the tree that we've been talking about, it just steers you around it, or does it give you haptic information?
Yeah, it just steers you around it. You'll never know it's there.
I assume you're one of the first people to try using this device out in public. How does it work for you?
So let me just, I want to make sure that it's clear. The device is still in development. It's not fully functioning yet. We have multiple prototypes with different capabilities. We're going to get to a beta device in a few months' time. That's when we will have a fully functioning pre-product device, okay? So when I use it in a very controlled situation. I'll have engineers with me and we'll be trying things out. It's not that I walk around Seattle all day with Glide yet. We're not at that stage from the development perspective. So I want to make sure that that's clear. But from an experience of using it and working with it, for me, it's a great experience. And one of the interesting things is how people around react. I mean, people definitely stop and look and wonder, what is this? And people realize what it is and they'll come over and say, hey, this is amazing. I've got somebody in my family who could really benefit from something like this. It's really a creating curiosity, and I can't wait, honestly, when we start rolling out this device. The next September is our goal, September of 2025. I just can't wait to see what the public's reaction is going to be.
Do people readily recognize it as an assistive device for the blind as they would a cane? I mean, sometimes I'll take my cane just so that other people know I'm blind, even if I can follow my wife quite aptly.
I don't have a clear answer to that. And I think that's exactly why we're having this interview and conversation, and that's why we're talking about it with the community, because we have to start addressing those questions. Some people say, oh, you know, you need to paint it white and give it a red tip at the end. And other people say, no, I want it to look like a, you know, some futuristic device that doesn't look anything like an assistive device.
That's interesting, yeah.
There's different opinions. We've noticed in our evolution of the design of the product that just the look of the product, even though it's not, doesn't look anything like an assistive device, our latest design looks impressive. It's got big wheels, like 7 to 8 inch wheels. We haven't finalized the size, but the all-terrain black wheels. The device glows a bit. There's an LED lighting on it. It's clearly working. It's clearly doing something. And people look at it. They get out of the way. They may not know exactly what it's doing, but it looks like something that's doing something.
I must say, looking at the image on your website, it is really slick.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Kyle is my co-founder and the designer, and he's really worked hard on it with a lot of feedback from a lot of people. And I can't wait. The picture that's on the website is really the form factor that we're building out the alpha device that should be ready in about 6 weeks or so. And we're excited with that.
You talked about the device steering around obstacles in your path. What kind of feedback or navigation assistance does it give about things that are overhead that may hit you in the head, or curves, holes in the ground, things like that?
We are designing the sensor array on Glide to detect what we call cliffs, obstacles, and overheads. Cliff is something that goes down, like a curb, a train platform, a hole in the ground, a boardwalk, yeah? These are cliffs, and overheads are overheads, as we know them. The camera has a pretty good broad visibility, and the radars are pointing in different directions so that we can really detect those. It will require some tuning, but really the device is designed to catch those and take them into account in the path planning of the obstacle avoidance. You know, overheads and a lot of these things, sometimes there's subtlety, right? Like sometimes you want to go around the overhead. Sometimes you just want to be aware of it so you can duck your head, right? You don't always want the device to be super careful about every single thing as long as you know about it.
Yes, yes.
I think that will, again, require some tuning and some user preferences. Also with the discontinuities on the ground, you know, like when branches grow through the, you know, push the pavement up and so on. Some people who are less short-footed may prefer that Glide finds us the smoothest path every time. Others just want to go over it, right?
Yes, like a bulldozer.
Yeah, and why not, right? I mean, if you're confident on your feet and you've got big strides, then you'd probably want to do that.
Yes. Along the same lines, what about going up and down stairs? I could picture you have kind of a long lever arm with these wheels at the bottom. Is it awkward going up and down stairs, or how do you manage that?
It's not designed to climb stairs. The way that we do that at present is basically it guides you to the stairs, tells you about the stairs. It can try and detect a rail and guide you to it. But ultimately, we're designing it so it's light enough and easy enough to pick up and walk up the stairs, put it back down, and continue to walk. If you go down the stairs, you can roll it down if you want, or you can, again, pick it up and put it back down at the bottom of the stairs and continue to walk.
And what kind of weight are we talking about?
We're working to a weight budget of 5 to 6 pounds. And that's achievable at the moment.
And the battery life?
It's an all-day charge with 6 hours of active use with a USB charger that if you need to give it more charge.
How rough can the terrain be and still have the glide function happily? You know, could you take a walk in the woods?
I would say that depends on the terrain. The wheels that the glide will ship with are all-terrain wheels, and they're really going to be working up to sort of gravel path environments, nothing with big rocks and big chunks of roots going across the. But what we are doing is we're building out the wheels such that they are easily replaceable. And we will look to the option of providing other type of terrain wheels. So bigger treads or even indoor wheels. If you're indoors and you don't want these big all-terrain wheels, if you're using your glide mainly in your office block and you want something slicker, that's how we're looking at it in terms of people who are really, you know, if you want to go even to the beach, right? Maybe you're looking for like these big fat wheels so that they can roll nicely. So there's different options, and we're exploring them at the moment.
So it sounds like you've come quite a long way with maturing this technology, but as you pointed out earlier, the final device won't be available for a little bit over a year. What do you consider to be the biggest obstacles that you need to overcome, or what are you looking to modify?
So up until now, it was all about refining the design, making sure that we know what features the device needs to have, and building those out in software, hardware, mechanical engineering, and so on. The next year is going to be really about beta testing the device and then ramping up manufacturing, which is the longest lead time.
Great. Well, I wish you luck with that. It sounds like a very interesting and useful device that's pretty different from anything else we've seen recently. Good luck.
It is different. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the Glide device, Glidance, the company that created it, and how to contact them.
Well, Amos, if people want to know more about Glidance or perhaps even acquire and learn more about the Glide device, where would you send them?
The best place to start is on our website, glidance.io. So that's the word guidance with an L. glidance.io. There's a lot of information on the website. We have a very expansive FAQ on the website with a lot of answers to questions that we get on a regular basis. And that's where you will also register to join the waiting list and get updated.
And if somebody has a question or a comment, how would they contact you?
The best way is to register on the contact page and put your question either in the registration or the moment that you do register, you will get an email from us and you'll get information about how to contact us. There's a Gliders email address that you can use. Our whole team is on that Gliders email address at responding to questions all the time.
Do you have a social media presence?
We do. We have Instagram on gliders.io and Facebook. We are also on TikTok and on LinkedIn and Twitter. All Glidance.io handles.
And from our conversation, it's clear that you are very interested in user feedback and very engaged with the community. And tell us how important that is to you.
Engagement with the community is very, very central to the development of Glide. And we hold regular Zoom calls with people who are interested to be engaged and ask questions, contribute to the development. They happen on the last Wednesday of every month. And the best way to really get involved is to go onto our website and join the waiting list, register with us. you'll get regular emails. You'll be invited to those Zoom calls. We do have demo days that we schedule out for people to be able to come to see the device and give feedback about it and experience what it's about. And we also, for people who are interested in backing the project, we are taking pre-orders. We started to take pre-orders 2 weeks ago. Pre-orders give you a 30% discount on the price of the device and get you to the front of the line to receive the device, which are two important factors. The price is $1,500 or $1,499 to be precise. With a pre-order, you'll get a 30% discount on that. But I would also urge people who pre-order to be open-minded. You know, we are still over a year before we will be able to begin to ship the devices. We're still learning a lot. We would like people who pre-order to be part of the development process to make sure that we bring about an amazing device for everyone.
And if you activate the link to the show notes for episode 2436, which is this episode, you'll find all of that information that you just heard in the audio. Just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net. And we've done lots of shows about different kinds of navigation and mobility aids. If you put those terms into the search field on our website, you'll find many episodes where we talked about a variety of those devices and mechanisms. They're all a little bit different. They all have their pros and cons. And Glide is certainly another one of the unique options that you'll find.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about top tech tidbits and access information news. If you are not familiar with these informative weekly newsletters and associated websites, you might want to listen to next week's show. We'll talk with Aaron DeBlasi, Senior Project Management Professional for MindFault Solutions, about how these newsletters and websites have come to be important resources for the access-dependent community.
Thanks for joining us this week, and we hope you'll join us again next week for that episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.